The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. We're sitting here, Tom, waiting for the rain, and all we've had are a few, at least driving in today, just a few sprinkles.
Well, it's sure cloudy enough.
I'll take that. Anytime it's below, 90 degrees at noon, I'll take it. It's Friday, June the 15th, our mid-June edition here, 2018. Hope you're having and had a great week. We are live in this very studio, AM 1030 KVOI, Monday through Friday with our show, The Buckmaster Show. And on Friday, we like to do a shout-out to all of our media friends who support us by prominently displaying the Buckmaster Show logo on their website, which makes it very convenient to hear all of our programs because we've pretty much got every show we have done since 2011 up there at buckmastershow.com. Dylan Smith, thank you, Dylan, for TucsonSentinel.com and what you do. Dan Shear, the Green Valley News, and Sal Rita Sun, thank you, Dan, for all of your support over the years.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Nice to see you.
Yes. You surprised me.
I know. That's why I thought I would throw a curve at you today. Did. Yeah. Tucson Media Group and its portfolio of Tucson-based publications that includes Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry, how are you?
Just fine, Bill. Good afternoon. Good
I'm
to see
you. I'm taking
a
look at the radar, and it looks like we do have some rain moving in. Are the washes, have you done some prep? You've certainly had a lot of time to do it over the last 107 days without a drop of rain. Yeah.
We're as prepared as we can be, Bill. We've done some remedial work on the Rito River, and we're finishing up the first phase of the Santa Cruz, basically sediment removal to reestablish flood capacity. So I think we're as in good a shape as we can be.
Dan Shear is here, and we heard from Dan earlier as I threw him a curve. How you doing, Dan?
I'm hanging in there. Thanks.
Very good. And let's begin with Mr. Huckleberry being in the news today. What's new? What isn't new about Mr. Huckleberry being in the news? 120 Pima County deputies and corrections officers say, Mr. Huckleberry, that you owe them, the county owes them $12.4 million in back pay, and they've now named you and Sheriff Napier in the lawsuit that they're pushing.
Well, Bill, first, it's not unusual. I get named in basically every lawsuit that gets filed against Pima County. This particular one has, no merit. It's one of the things that I think it's unfortunate that the Sheriff's Deputies Union is paying an attorney to basically file a lawsuit, and ultimately I think that'll be thrown out pretty quickly in court. It's very simple. We advertise in the paper to hire deputies, or we hire anybody, and says the pay range is from here to here, and you can be basically hired into any one of those areas depending upon your qualifications and experience, and that if the county gives raises, you might move from one spot to another. But the county is just like any other government. We operate on annual budgets and annual appropriation, and therefore nothing is ever guaranteed with regard to future raises. And I think what the deputies want is an absolute guarantee they'll get a raise every year as long as they're there. That's just not going to happen.
And you don't see this having a lot of legs?
Well, I think it's an attorney playing a lottery with the sheriff deputies union dues.
All right. Here is Dan Shear, the Green Valley News, and Sal Rita Sun.
Well, if we could move on to roads, which seems to be a perennial subject, and it looks like we have a new plan possibly out there after June 19th, because on June 19th we're going to get the vote from the Board of Supervisors on a half-cent sales tax. You are certainly of the opinion that it's going to go down because it has to be unanimous. And then there is now a backup plan, general obligation bonds. Can you explain that for us?
Sure. What that is really saying the county is really out of options with regard to how to fix the roads, not only in the unincorporated area, but frankly in every municipal town and city within the county. And what we've said is that the county has had a history of issuing general obligation bonds by going to the voters and saying, do you want to issue bonds for this purpose? that debt has always been relatively short, meaning that we never have debt longer than 15 years, and it's usually mostly paid back in about 11. Over the next 3 to 4 years, any outstanding existing debt the county has is going to be paid off. And so what that means is that the current property tax rate for debt service can be held constant for another about probably almost 8-9 years. And if you do that, you can probably fix the roads, and you can fix them without a property tax increase year to year. You'll pay taxes longer, but you won't pay any more taxes in any given year. In addition, I think it'd be my recommendation, I think the board would agree, that the 25-cent property tax we levied for roads this last year will go away. And so it's one of those things that sounds too good to be true, but frankly, it is true that you can fix your roads, keep your taxes constant, and actually see a property tax decrease by having the 25-cent road tax go away.
To move that to the bond, to the voters, what would that require of the five members on the board? What kind of vote?
It just requires a simple majority vote, as always, to refer something to the ballot.
Unlike the sales tax, which vote on Tuesday, which would require a unanimous vote.
That's correct. And frankly, I think this is probably going to where it should be. Let the voters decide. Do they want their roads fixed or not?
And the plan would be for how many years of road repair?
Well, the plan would be for about 10 years. In other words, you could repair all the roads, city, county, within 10 years.
Dan?
You have two plans in your memo, really, $430 million or $860 million. Why would we even be talking about $430 when that wouldn't be nearly enough to fix the roads?
Well, it really buys some time. What it says is that that's a very significant down payment on fixing the roads. We've always been of the opinion that this is really a larger problem. It's a state problem, and that it buys some time to allow the state legislature to hopefully decide what they need to do in transportation finance, either a gas tax, some other form of tax, or to delegate some of that authority to the RTA, give them an additional half-cent authority, extend the RTA tax, lots of options. And so I think what the board believes is that's probably not necessarily their complete responsibility to solve this problem. In this particular case, I believe they're going to be willing to take the first step and hope that the legislature steps in and does something in the next 3 or 4 years. If they don't, in my memorandum, I've said to the board, well, we can continue to go right back out to the voters again and ask again, if we've done a good job for the first $430 million, why wouldn't they give us the next $430 if no one else is going to help solve the problem?
Well, speaking of the RTA, would they have any role in a bond rollout then?
Well, they wouldn't, other than what we would be asking them to do is make sure that everybody has uniform standards of definition about how we rate roads, how we repair roads, so that we don't have any jurisdictional mumbo-jumbo about what's a road repair in one jurisdiction versus another. We need them to have some consistent regional, we'll say, standards.
But they would not be administrating any money, touching any money, as would have been the plan possibly under the half-cent sales tax.
Yes, under the half-cent sales tax, they would have. Under a GO bond, they would not, because that's the exclusive revenue source of the county.
And as you point out in the memo to the board members, if this doesn't go forward, we are out of options.
We're out of options, except that we would probably keep the 25-cent road tax, but it's going to take 40 to 50 years under that scenario to fix the roads, probably never fix them because they may deteriorate faster than we're fixing them.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Matthew has a question for Mr. Huckleberry. Hey, Matthew.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck, I agree that your idea of not going too much on the figure is correct. First of all, I think the $400 million is the absolute highest you can go and get support. And I agree with your logic on that. My concern is this. Does the Board of Supervisors have a plan to encourage communities to either become cities themselves or become annexed by the city of Tucson? And I would like to see funding of this kind, like the city does with water, They say, if you want the water, sign an annexation agreement. I think the board should encourage some sort of annex, some sort of agreement where the communities that get this find a way to start becoming cities, because we can't keep solving this long term unless these communities start agreeing to become cities and collect the money from the state. Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Well, Matthew, I think I agree with the concept that Bob about the size of the issue. I think that the board has always taken, the county has always taken the position that it's really up to the individual resident as to whether they want to become part of a community or whether they want to incorporate. And so I think we're going to stay as neutral as possible on those arguments. And so I think, you know, it's just up to the individual. It's up to the individual resident.
We'll take a break right here as we push toward 12:15. Want to tell all of our listeners about Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town. Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There you will find a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. If you're out and about right now and you're up in the area of Swan and Sunrise and you're hungry, it is the lunch hour after all, and you'd like a beautiful sandwich prepared with that fresh bread that just came out of the oven probably just a couple of hours ago. So, and then may I suggest it, one of those luscious brownies. I'm making Tom Fairbanks very hungry right now. Tom kind of wishes he had a Mona sandwich right in front of him right now. And along with that, that big brownie. And that, Tom, you'd be a very happy guy for the rest of the afternoon. Anyway, again, it's Mona's Danish Bakery. The link at buckmastershow.com. Also, we have links to all of the fine partners here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
With a little humor and whimsy, Tohono O'Toole is honoring the environmental significance of native bees during National Pollinator Week with their Adopt a Bee campaign. With your adoption, you'll receive an exclusive invite to their pollinator party on Friday, June 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. Meet your bee and enjoy the Garden Bistro's inventive food creations using bee pollen and honeycomb, and try the regional honey bar by Dos Manos Apiaris. Join them on Friday, June 22nd for the pollinator party. For more information, visit tohonoochul.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday during the noon hour, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Also, Street Smarts columnist from the Arizona Daily Star, David Layton, joins us. Buckmaster during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI, and worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1220 now on this Friday afternoon. A reminder, the program does re-air on Saturday morning. We're on from 7 to 8 in the morning. Chuck Huckleberry is here, Pima County Administrator, and Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, those two publications. Dan does such a fine job overseeing the editorial control there. Mr. Huckleberry, the Board of Supervisors has this very important meeting on Tuesday, and this will be the adoption of the final spending plan for the next 12 months.
Yes, Bill. Once a year, one of the more important jobs of the Board of Supervisors is to adopt a budget for the coming fiscal year, and that will happen on Tuesday. And the budget is, I think, in pretty good shape, maintains programs, no real cuts to much of anything, and we actually begin to start a pay-as-you-go capital program, and we happen to have on schedule some new library expansions, one in the Sarita area, finishing one in the Northwest, and we're actually going to drop the primary property tax rate by 14 cents, and that coupled with last year's 11 cents actually reduces the property tax 25 cents on the primary, which offsets that 25-cent road tax.
And again, for those that constantly are saying we're the highest property taxes of all the counties in Arizona, your response is?
Well, my response is that we are the only county in Arizona that does not have a sales tax to offset our property tax. And if we had a sales tax similar to what other counties, we'd be in the middle of the pack on property taxes.
All right, here's Dan Scheer.
The 25-cent property tax that you just mentioned, the one that was instituted a year ago for the roads, I guess the plan would be if these general obligation bonds went through for the roads that that would go away, but a vote to put that before voters, and if voters approved the bonds, that doesn't necessarily mean it goes away. What would the process be to get rid of it?
Well, the process is really twofold. One, it's an annual process, meaning that that 25 cents has to be reaffirmed every year in the budget process. And so I think the board would be under a pressure point to actually not adopt it if the voters approved the bonds. In addition, the board has to develop a bond implementation plan if they decide to go forward with a bond issue. In that bond implementation plan, they could instruct staff to include the 25-cent reduction as a standard ordinance requirement in the implementation of that bond program.
And then earlier this year, we attempted to get something, the county attempted to get something through the legislature that would have meant that you wouldn't have needed a unanimous vote to get a tax through. That did not make it. Would you still push for that, even if this general obligation bond were approved?
Well, you have to remember that this bond issue is for road repair only, and that I think what we were looking for last time is to give the RTA an additional half-cent sales tax authority for road repair. The RTA needs to reauthorize the existing half-cent, which expires in 2026, and so we would believe and we would support an additional tax for the RTA, because I think we believe that they're going to need it for regional mobility regardless of whether we repair our roads or not, and that regional mobility really is a combination of transit and highway expansion projects.
We haven't talked about Rosemont Mine, it seems like, Dan and Mr. Huckleberry, in a long time, and Dan, How long have we been talking about it? I mean,
well, I've been here 9 years, so at least 9 years.
And, 9 years, yeah.
And I met with them about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I just touch base every few months and see what's going on, and they're kind of laying low.
With HUD-Bay, the Toronto, Ontario, Canada-based group that has Rosemont.
Right, they'll be opening up the mine. Everything is, you know, moving forward. They certainly, you know, they've had some lawsuits filed against them. They expect more. They are still going after one permit. And they are just kind of in not in a holding pattern, but they feel like they're moving forward, but they certainly won't say when they think they're going to start digging or anything like that. But very committed to the mine, very active in our area, giving away scholarship money and that type of stuff. But again, it's very low key, and they like to be out of the limelight, which is completely the opposite of Augusta Resource, which was just a kind of a free-for-all. So
they're under the radar screen. So, Mr. Huckleberry, what are you hearing?
We're hearing just absolutely nothing. And the decision is really out of our hands. It's in federal agencies, and I think probably the most important agency is the Corps of Engineers and the Environmental Protection Agency with that Section 404 permit related to the Clean Water Act.
All right, going back to the budget, where are the big budget items? Law enforcement, the jail is a big item, isn't it?
Typically, if you look at our general fund, the criminal justice system itself is probably about 55 to 60% of our total budget. And so when you think of that, criminal justice system is something that provides general public safety, but it's typically nothing you can put your finger right on as a direct public benefit, unlike a park or an improved road or something of that nature. So we spend a lot of money in the criminal justice system. One of the things I've recommended this year is the board adopt a justice commission to where we can start talking about reforms, and reforms meaning how to lower the cost of that system and actually improve the outcomes for the individuals who are trapped in it.
Dan?
I want to take this in just a little bit of a different direction. Last night I had dinner with a 25-year-old young man from Green Valley. That's not a typo. He's 25, lives in Green Valley, wants eventually maybe to run for office or something, but at this point wants to figure out how the county works. What are volunteer opportunities as far as, you know, committees or commissions or groups or whatever for somebody who wants to get involved, but before they run for office, they actually want to know what they're talking about by getting involved and volunteering? What's the first step?
Well, the first step is just go to our webpage, pima.gov, and look at all of the various things that the county does. There's a section on that webpage that talks about committees and commissions, and that's a myriad of citizen involvement to where people can actually provide direction and input to how the county operates. We then have, if they're ever interested in running for office, we have manuals that talks about how do you become a supervisor, and they can actually gate all that information as well. I think it's important that they become engaged, because we need people to be engaged. We need people to understand that there are policy discussions and fact-driven debates that should occur and need to occur in order to sustain a democracy.
And the Canoa Hills Golf Course, that now is moving forward?
It is.
The one-time Canoa Hills Golf Course?
Yeah, the Canoa Hills Natural Preserve, as we now refer to it. And it's the first conversion of an actual developed golf course back into open space. And I think it will add value to the lands and property owners adjacent to it, and will add value to the community because it becomes a natural resource park that they can enjoy. Because in Green Valley, there's, outside the Board Again Jocks organization, there's not a lot of people who play softball and football and rugby. They enjoy the walking and bird watching and natural open spaces.
Dan, you said this was a 25-year-old that you met with living in Green Valley. How does that work?
Well, Green Valley is not completely age-restricted.
Really? And,
no, it is not. It's probably about 70% of it is, maybe 80% of it is. So you can live in some parts. You probably feel a little bit like an outcast, but you actually can, and you can actually belong to Green Valley Recreation and partake in the community. It's a rarity. There's not much nightlife, and that age tends to like that.
Final question from Mr. Huckleberry, Dan Scheer.
You had mentioned recently that the costs for medical care for county inmates has gone up substantially. You have then raised the rates on those communities such as Sahuarita who contract with the county to put their inmates there. It's not much of an increase. Do you see these medical rates going up and up and up to the point where we're really going to have to make some tough decisions here?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that we need to do and have done is provide adequate care, both in behavioral health and medical health, and not to do so would put us in the same jeopardy the state is now with a federal judge in providing medical care to people in the correction system. It's costly, but it's necessary. In the case of the rates and how they've gone up, and what we're spent another $4.2 million, and so the contract's probably now $15 or $16 million for inmate health care, including behavioral health, and that translates into only about a $5 a day increase in the rates for those who house people in our jail. But you have to remember that if a Sahuarita resident is arrested on a Sahuarita misdemeanor, that person is charged to the town of Sahuarita at $99 a day. But if a Sahuarita resident is arrested on a state felony, then that is a county cost, not a cost to the jurisdiction. So what it means is that, frankly, we'll pay most of that $4.3 million out of our own pocket, and it won't be translated directly into charges to communities.
All right, Mr. Huckleberry, thank you very much. Let's hope we get some rain, and we'll see you later down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. And I just had one final thought about transportation. We are repairing some roads right now, correct?
Oh, we are. We have three contracts underway. We're spending probably at this point about $35 million in road repairs.
Yeah. Do you have any particular ones that folks could recognize that jump out at us?
Well, we're spending a lot of money on the arterial systems now, about $20 million, a lot of roads on the east side. We're going to be doing several collector major roads in the Catalina foothills, Campbell, and a few others that people will certainly recognize when they drive on it.
All right. Thanks a lot. We will be right back. Dan Scheer sticks around. Joe Ferguson now is in the house. Joe is going to be joining us for the roundtable portion. Lots of interesting political stuff this week to talk with Joe about. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the roundtable portion now of our hour on our Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and we're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and of course we have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Dan Scheer sticks around from our interview with Mr. Huckleberry. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Boy, you've been busy, haven't you, putting this Sunday edition together?
Yeah, we've been
Hold on. I also want to introduce Joe Ferguson. Joe, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Joe is the political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. You've been busy, Dan, at the paper.
Yeah, we have. We have been talking for quite a while to some local women as this whole Me Too movement has rolled out, particularly over the last year, and then kind of came back up with, you know, Bill Cosby's conviction and all of this, and saying, you know, what if we looked at that movement from the eyes of people who really experienced it in the 60s and the 70s, and we have a community full of them. And so we've talked to several of them, and that package will be in on Sunday. But then we also looked at, okay, going forward, what do we need to do? The answer is education. And then there's a woman down there who is working on basically what amounts to a journalist handbook for dealing with issues like sexual harassment and whatnot. And she's got the chops to pull it off. And it's a story about making sure that we're using kind of the right language and that journalists are not getting bogged down in stereotypes and assumptions and everything. So that'll be coming out on Sunday, and it's a good package.
What about, will that be in the Sahorita paper as well?
Yes, probably on either Wednesday or in another week or so.
All right. Joe, you spent some time in Prescott, haven't you?
Well, I visited a few times. I did spend a lot of time up in northern Arizona, so Prescott was our sister kind of community. So when there was politics that we wrote about in Flagstaff, Prescott played a role in that at times.
Well, State Representative David Stringer made some comments at a Republican Men's Forum event near Prescott. This article says near. I'm not sure where that might have been. Was it like Cottonwood or somewhere?
It could have been in the Prescott Valley. It could have been just outside of it. There's three cities that constitute that area.
Well, the comments, of course, have gone pretty much international. This lawmaker, he's been doubling down on the controversial comments he made earlier this week about this threat that immigration poses to the country, saying, quote, "There aren't enough white kids to go around in the state's public school system." That's an embarrassment to Arizona.
It is. And he's become a uniter. He's really, you know, brought together Democrats and Republicans, all of which who want to see him out of office.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, there's a primary just around the corner, and this kind of news making is not necessarily going to help him win votes.
Dan, this is embarrassing to Arizona. We have these stories that come along and people go, oh, that's Arizona.
Just one more nail in the coffin there. And this one is pretty much indefensible. And it is, I think it's important to back away from it quickly, you know, as a state. We saw, what was it, ABC do that with the Roseanne Barr thing that came up, immediately back away, and then that tends to get you a little more credibility. So I think that's what we need to do again as a state, because nobody feels that way. And quite frankly, I don't even understand exactly what he was saying or getting to. He obviously felt like he was in a friendly room and could say things like that, although I'm not quite sure why.
All right, this is the time. The signatures have been filed with the Arizona Secretary of State. Joe, is that window 3 weeks to challenge signatures?
Yeah, we're down. We're done with the window to challenge. Now we're going to get into the court cases. So
okay, so the window to challenge is very narrow. That's like 2 weeks.
Right, it closed on Wednesday.
Okay. So where are we on this? We've got some high-profile challenges going on. I wonder if we could kind of dig deep, as they say, into those.
Well, I think Dan and I both are concerned about the challenge to Ann Kirkpatrick on Monday. That's probably the most high-profile challenge that we're seeing right now, at least for Southern Arizona.
And the challenge was brought by Matt Hines, is that correct? One of the
Matt funded the group that's behind it. So Matt has tried to distance himself in terms of saying he pushed this forward, but there's ample evidence that he's paid for this group to make the challenge itself, because those things are not inexpensive.
And this is a challenge against former Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick, who is one of the seven. No, or is there eight now?
Seven, last time I checked. But
seven congressional candidates and CD2 Democrats.
So, but the argument is that Ann Kirkpatrick has made false statements on where she lives. Federal law is ambivalent to that, but when she said to people, I need your signature and here's where I live, Hines is arguing, and others are as well, that she never lived there.
What's your legal residence?
It depends on who you ask. Ann says that she's rented an apartment in CD2, and before that she was staying at a friend's house, but there are plenty of documents that suggest that she lived in Phoenix, from voter registration records that she had a year and a half ago to a home mortgage loan that she refinanced in November of 2017, in addition to taking some tax credits for either her home in Flagstaff, which she took, or the one that her husband took in Phoenix.
So, Dan, even if this doesn't, if a judge says there's nothing to this, in a way, the folks who have brought this on behalf, apparently, of Matt Hines, have accomplished their goal of trying to reinforce that Ann Kirkpatrick is a carpetbagger.
Right, and I think it's also a strike at her integrity, too, because what they're saying here is not so much she doesn't live in the district because you don't have to. They're saying that she misrepresented herself, and I think that's a even much bigger accusation. And the carpetbagger thing does come up. She's, of course, been in several public forums, and I've not heard it brought up actually during the forums, but certainly it's the buzz in the crowd. But, you know, everyone's taken aim at her because she's considered the front runner, because she's served in Congress, she has the money, and apparently has the support. I will tell you, and I think I've said it on here before, she is not well-liked, to be honest with you, among Democrats in our area. I rarely hear anything positive about her, but I'm not hearing about a clear number two. I think there are a couple of people who could step into the role. Matt Hines would not be one of them.
What do you think? What's your take on this race? The polling has been kind of mixed, hasn't it, on this, Joe?
I mean,
Ann Kirkpatrick has been the leader in the polls, right?
There's two types of polls.
Okay.
And that's the ones that the candidates release that they want out there to release, that gives them the viability and the narrative that they can use for fundraising and to crow out online. And then there's the polls that the campaigns have and don't release. And so we've only seen probably half of the polls that are actually out there and floating, and none of them have been independent, and none of them could be really considered to be academic polls that have to have some some semblance of a bias in them. So, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot to which one you want to latch on to.
I was trying to line up, and I try to be real fair, of course, during the congressional runs. I try to get all of the candidates from the congressional districts here on the program that represent our area, and that would be three congressional districts, Congressional District 1, 2, and 3. I reached out to Miguel Olivas, who is trying to challenge the sitting congressman, Tom O'Halloran, and I got an email, and I shared it with you, Joe, from Mr. Olivas's handler, that he's dropping out of the race. And then you followed up, and then you had the reasons, right?
Right. And he said that he had some residency problems and was concerned in a similar fashion to the challenge against Kirkpatrick that his address was reflected on his signature forms. So he took himself out. Now, as I mentioned in the story, he also was dangerously close to having the bare minimum number of signatures. And as there was a signature challenge out there, this might have been a more noble way to end his run than being tossed off a ballot unceremoniously by a judge.
Yeah, and that's an interesting race, CD1, because you've got now O'Halloran, who is the incumbent. He is being challenged now. There's a three-way primary in CD1 with Wendy Rogers, Tiffany Shedd, and
Steve Smith.
We've had Smith on. We've already got booked Wendy Rogers and Tiffany Shedd. So that's going to be an interesting three-way.
It is. It's got three different people from three different parts of the district, and we're going to see how well they resonate with voters. Wendy Rogers did run 2 years ago, so she has some background in terms of organization and outreach into these areas, but you know, it's a half dozen and one who pick them who's going to be first. And as far as I know, these three haven't shared a stage yet.
And I have not seen the national focus on Arizona this strong in a long time. Certainly, there's a lot of races that are considered toss-ups just out of everything that's going on here. But a lot of excitement this year. And, of course, I know a lot of people are looking at it as a referendum on how President Trump is doing, and I know a lot of the candidates and the primaries that have already gone off around the country, of course, are being tied back to him, whether or not they should be, but they all are. So it's an exciting time for politics, and particularly to be in Arizona.
But as far as the sheriff, former Sheriff Joe, he's probably not going to drop out.
I don't think he's going to. He was at a forum down there that I moderated a couple weeks ago, and he was asked publicly to drop out and by the Republican Club of Green Valley, which supports him, which likes him, but feels that he's going to split the vote with Kelly Ward, and they don't like that. And so he made it clear that he was not going to. I spoke to him afterward, and then we talked to him the next day, and no, and oh, my feelings are hurt. So, you know, he turned 86 yesterday, and he said he would only serve one term. That would make him 92 when he's out, or, yeah, 93, I guess. And he just feels like he still has something to give. And I'm not going to take that away from the guy, but that is the reason he tells us he's still in it.
Oh, that's interesting. His birthday is the same day as President Trump. Flag Day on June 14th.
And he pointed that out several times at the forum.
Oh, did he really?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Joe, are you covering now the county? Is that just sort of a temporary thing?
No, I'm there. I'm the transportation reporter. I've got some great stories coming out this week on what Chuck wants to do with roads.
That's where I wanted to go next in our discussion about this important meeting Tuesday.
It's going to be a big meeting. So, you know, I round up a little bit, but, you know, we're talking more or less $1 billion would go into roads over the next decade. And that's not a small number in terms of people who have demanded to see some kind of action here. And so it seems pretty clear that the half-cent sales tax is dead on arrival, that both Allie Miller and Steve Christie will not support it. And so Chuck's got a Hail Mary that he's throwing out there for another suggestion, which would be $860 million again over 10 years, and he's saying that it won't raise our taxes.
Yeah, we heard that, didn't we, Dan?
Yeah, and I don't know that it's another plan. I mean, like you say, I think Chuck actually said it's the last one. This is kind of it. So we're down to the bottom of the barrel here. And he did say that we would just be paying the tax for a lot longer, but it would not raise our rates. So we'll see if that actually happens. And of course, as he said, the voters should decide this, and that's how it would be done if we end up going this route, which of course I think we will.
And what is your kind of gut feeling? Do you think voters would be inclined if it's to vote for in favor of something about the roads?
Well, your caller Matthew actually has me thinking about that, where he says, you know, he thought the $430 million was maybe the threshold that the voters could go for, and if you prove yourself with that, and Chuck Huckleberry even mentioned that, then you know they'll give you the second half, and so that might be right. I'm a kind of a whole enchilada person on this because we know the problem is that big. $160 million big. So, but I think with these voters, maybe you just hit it, prove yourself, and then hit it again, and we'll see what happens.
And you know the detractors, the We Hate Chuck Huckleberry people will be quickly organizing against any bond.
Yeah, and you know, and all I say is that your arguments need to be factually based, and then inject a little bit of reality here. These roads are not getting any better. They're getting worse. As you had asked him, the last question is, yeah, we are seeing some roads being improved, but it's if we stuck with this 25-cent property tax that was approved last year, as he said, it would take 40 years to do this, and then we'd be going back and looping around and constantly doing this. So is this the big fix? Is this the one where you kind of swallow hard and just do it? Or will the detractors actually bring up some stuff that is worth considering?
Hmm. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I think that, you know, this is an interesting thing, but I kind of worry about the trickle down because I've talked to at least one municipality that says, great, but we're not sure we need tens of millions of dollars to fix our roads. We're not sure how we're going to spend the money. And so this is a big kind of $30,000 proposal, but I think individual agencies, South Tucson, aren't going to be sure how to fix that, spend that money.
You said 30,000?
Foot level kind of look at it. So that, you know, when you talk about these things, it sounds great, you know, $860 million for a billion-dollar need that Chuck estimates just for the county. But when we start spending those actual dollars and where they go, you know, City of Tucson just put in $200 million worth of road repairs. They're going to get another $400 million. This is getting close to all the roads that need to be fixed in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And if you have to spend the roads on that, could some of the money be spent poorly or made on decisions on roads that maybe don't need to be fixed? Are we fixing roads that are a B level to an A level? Are we, you know, paving dirt roads just for the sake of spending the money? So there's some long-term questions that we really need to look at when we talk about this. It does sound nice, but we need serious journalists like myself, like Dan, to really kind of get into the details.
All right. We will look for your work, Joe Ferguson in the Arizona Daily Star, on Saturday and Sunday.
Monday, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Dan Scheer. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with Matt Russell and Weekend Watch.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe. Check out our giant cat habitats or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
All right, Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist Matt Russell, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City should be on your recreational radar for sure. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. It's 10 to 15 degrees cooler over there. It's a great place in historic Silver City and the environment around that area to do some great hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Now, here is the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, who is waiting as the raindrops are kind of intermittent around the Tucson area today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing my Buckmaster rain dance. Even as we speak, people are looking at me sort of weird, but I'll do whatever it takes with the precipitation bill.
It's another show, and it's another opening on Weekend Watch.
Yeah, and even in the heat of summer, we have new restaurant openings to report. This week's newbie is the Persian Room. They're located in the 9,000 block of North Thornydale, their first location outside of their flagship eatery in Scottsdale. Now, they call it upscale in ambiance and generous in portions. Huh. I love it already. Traditional Persian delicacies like sauteed chicken with walnuts and pomegranate anchor this menu with some delightful desserts to boot. I say transport your palate to the best of traditional Persian cuisine at the Persian Room. They open tonight.
All right. Can't beat it. How about all this excitement around World Cup? Does that translate, Matt Russell, into the cuisine?
And what a coincidence. Yeah, World Cup is taking center stage this weekend. People all across town are looking for a place that will broadcast the Mexico versus Germany game on Sunday morning. Well, General Ben's in Main Gate Square is opening at 8 a.m. that day with some fun specials no matter what country you're rooting for. For Mexico loyalists, they'll have huevos rancheros and breakfast burritos. And for those cheering on Germany, you'll enjoy German pancakes and German bratwurst skillets this Sunday morning at General Ben's for world-class soccer as well as cuisine.
On Sunday, we honor our fathers in this country.
Yeah, and you know, Bill, I am a creature of habit, and I am parked by my grill at home every Father's Day. But for those who want to treat Dad and let someone else do the cooking, you you're going to have a lot of delicious options. Brother John's is doing dad-sized discounts on barbecue and bourbon cocktails. Chardo's Steak is giving dads half off their dinners. Listen up, kids. Better be a big steak for the old man this year. And Hacienda Del Sol is putting out a fabulous Father's Day brunch with dishes that dad will love, like a mango tea rubbed pork belly. Can I get an oink, Bill?
You get a couple of, you get a 5-star oink on that one, I'll tell you. Enjoy your Father's Day afternoon around the grill there at the Russell household. Have a great weekend.
Very exciting. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of our program. The original theme music was composed by the German composer Christophan. Thank you, Christophan, for supplying our theme music for the Buckmaster Show. There's a link to your work at buckmastershow.com. Thanks to my longtime assistant, Rosemary Brandt, making sure all of the podcasts are put up on a very timely basis. Rose usually gets those shows up at buckmastershow.com, I don't know, maybe an hour, within an hour and a half of the conclusion of our program. I also want to thank Tom Fairbanks. Tom is my Friday engineer and producer. We've been together now for years. He does just such a fine job, as does my Monday through Thursday producer and engineer, and that's Ray Allen, who also happens to be operations manager here at KVOI. We have to say a big shout out and thanks to the production manager here and funny man, Jerry Cross. Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, the front office staff, ladies, you do a great job. And of course, Doug and Mary Martin, the owners of our locally owned and operated radio group that's known as Good News Communication. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, have a great afternoon and evening.